Good morning, my friends. On this day, in order to give thanks for our nation, we will be using prayers that they would have used in 1776. Please read along in your bulletin.
Thank you.
Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be his kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, unto whom all hearts be open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord, who never failest to help and govern them who thou dost bring up in thy steadfast fear and love, keep us, we beseech thee, under the protection of thy good providence, and make us to have a perpetual fear and love of thy holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the second book of Samuel. Now it came to pass after the death of Saul, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites, and David had abode 2 days in Ziklag. And David lamented with this lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan, his son. Also he bade them teach the children of Judah the use of the bow. Behold, it is written in the book of Jasher. The beauty of Israel is slain upon thy high places. How are the mighty fallen? Tell it not in Gath. Publish it not in the streets of Ascalon. Lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice. Lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. Ye mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew. Let there be neither rain upon you nor fields of offerings. For there the shield of the mighty is vilely cast away, the shield of Saul, as though he had not been anointed with oil. From the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan turned not back, and the sword of Saul returned not empty. Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives, and in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. Ye daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet with other delights, who put on ornaments of gold upon your apparel. How are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thine high places. I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. How are the mighty fallen, and the weapons of war perished? Here endeth the lesson. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
A reading from the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was readiness to will, so there may be performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased, and ye burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that hath gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. Here endeth the epistle.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell down at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him, and thronged him. And a certain woman, which who had an issue of blood 12 years, had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightforward the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said to him, Thou seest the multitudes throng thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of that plague. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain people which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he said to them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightforth the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. There is a place called Ein Gedi in Israel. It is located just off the shore of the Dead Sea. You all know that the Dead Sea is the lowest geographical point on the planet, and that literally it is dead. Nothing can live in that sea because it's so full of salt that when you go in and try to swim, you float, which is odd and wonderful. On the shore of the sea are some hills, and there are caves dug into the hillside and some cliffs. Three thousand 200 years ago, David was fleeing from King Saul. And it was to those caves at the place called Ein Gedi that he ran. And he stopped there to rest. In all of the Bible, there are two people who the scripture spends more time on than anyone else, who more is written about than anyone else. One of these, of course, is Jesus, and the other is King David. King David's life is described to us from his childhood all the way through till his death with intricate detail. King David was so loved by his people that Jesus was not ashamed to be called Son of David. And why? Why do we love him so much? He was not a perfect man by any means. But David had a primary relationship, a relationship that was greater than his relationship with any of his wives or even his best friend Jonathan. David was in a love relationship with God, and God was part of every decision that he made, save his worst decision. God was there when the young boy David was anointed by the prophet Samuel to become the future king. And God was there giving David strength when he slew the giant Goliath with just a slingshot. And God was with David as his star began to rise. And Saul saw his greatness and asked David to fight in his armies. And David was so successful that people began to talk about him. And at first, Saul loved David. He would call David into his bedroom chamber and ask David to play upon the harp and sing, and that would help Saul to relax. It would calm his agitated moods and rages. But as David's star began to rise higher, the people began to say a wonderful phrase amongst themselves. They said, "Saul killed his thousands, and David his tens of thousands. Saul killed his thousands, and David his tens of thousands." How do you think that made Saul feel? Insecure. Jealous. And the love that he felt for David began to change and morph and be strangled into something horrible. And he began to seek to kill David. He tries to kill David himself numerous times. David escapes or is protected by his wife or by Jonathan, his friend. And David runs for his life. For years, David is hunted by King Saul. For years, he has to flee to other lands, to other peoples. And one day, in the heat of the day, David and his men, just a few men, find a cave at Ein Gedi. And it's so hot, they decide to recede way back into the cave, into the darkness, where it's cool and they can rest and sleep. They go to sleep, but they're awakened by the presence of a man who walks boldly into the entrance of the cave and turns to face the entrance so his back is to David and the soldiers. And he starts to relieve himself. He puts down all of his stuff. And David and his men recognize that it's Saul. It's the king, and his back is facing them. He is defenseless. David's men go to try to kill him, but David quickly and quietly says no. He sneaks up to Saul's cloak and cuts a piece of cloth from out of his cloak and then recedes back into the shadows of the cave. When Saul is done, he picks up his belongings and traipses out of the cave to join his men. When he's gotten about 50 yards out, David calls to him from the mouth of the cave. Don't you see, my Lord, that I am not a danger to you? Don't you see that I do not want to hurt you? Look at your cloak. I took a piece of cloth from it. I could have killed you, but I didn't. Because you're my king. Please, Lord, please stop hunting me. But Saul will not see reason. And in his rage, he continues to hunt David, and David runs again. Finally, Saul and Jonathan are both killed in battle. And when David hears of the news, well, if it was me, I would have said, "Phew, I can stop running. After all, it's been years and I haven't had a solid meal or a good place to live. I'm relieved." But that's not how David responded. Instead of being relieved or joyful even, David begins to weep. He grieves over the loss of a man that he admired and of his best friend. He's in pain. David is in pain at the moment that he becomes the king of Israel. At that very moment, he's crying out to God, saying, "Please help me. My heart is breaking." And you know what the strange thing is that that moment of pain and suffering was really, in many ways, the greatest moment of David's life. Not just because he became king, but because in that moment, he truly opened his heart to God. Each one of you is going to lose someone that you love, or many of you have always already lost that someone. For some of you, the love of your life has already died. Some of you have lost parents. Some have even lost children. And we always think that God is with us when we feel good, when we feel powerful, when things are going well. But for David, God was most potently present with him in one of his moments of greatest pain, when he was grieving, because he chose to use that pain to open his heart to God. Look at the gospel for today. Jairus was the ruler of the synagogue. He was a wealthy, respected man, a man who would have never bothered to speak to someone like Jesus. He would have never spoken to Jesus. He would never have deigned to invite Jesus to his home because he was a man of power and authority. Why would he speak to an itinerant preacher? Why bother? But Jairus's little girl becomes sick and she's dying. And he realizes that despite all of his wealth and all of his authority, he is helpless in the face of death. Helpless. And in his pain and in his grief, instead of turning into himself and feeling sorry for himself, he turns to Jesus and says, "Help me. You're the only one who can help me." Or there is a woman who has been bleeding for years and years, and her pain and her suffering gives her a purpose and a force to find Jesus. There is a huge crowd swarming around him, and she pushes and elbows her way in until she grabs a hold of his robe. And she would have never had the strength or the drive to do that had she not been in pain. We think that our moments of grief and pain are bad things, but they can be good if they drive us forward to find God. We have a choice. We can turn into ourselves out of self-pity and diminish. Or like David, we can say, "Help me, God, help me." Today we remember the birth of this nation so many hundreds of years ago. And you know what? I think we're a country that is in mourning. I think we, ever since September 11th, we have been grieving. We've been grieving because we are not the country we used to be. We are no longer as secure financially or safety-wise or anything, and we don't know what the future will hold. And so in our grief, we fight with one another. And sure, that's part of the American way. Did you know that our founding fathers in the House of Representatives, when they had an argument, they used to punch each other in the face? I think that's kind of cool. But nowadays, our disagreements between our political parties become malicious. We cease to see one another as people. We see one another as causes, as political positions. And in our grief, we turn into ourselves instead of saying to God, "We don't know what the future will hold, but we ask you to help us." Maybe our time of weakness and our time of fear could become one of our greatest moments as a country. I believe that it could be. All of you are going to lose someone that you love, or maybe you already have. All of you are going to struggle, or you are struggling, but you have a choice. Will you become wrapped up in yourself? Or will you, like David, turn in all your pain, in all your helplessness to God and say, "Help me"? I know you can do that. God, I know that you can take my hardest times and bring new life. Amen. Let us stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeded from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one Catholic and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Almighty God, giver of all good things, we thank you for the natural wonders of this land. They restore us, though we often destroy them.
Heal us.
Thank you for the great resources of this nation. They make us rich, though we often exploit them.
Forgive us.
Help us to love and serve you in all things.
Christ.
We thank you for the men and women who have made this country strong. They are models for us, though we often fall short of them.
Inspire us.
We thank you for the torch of liberty which has been lit in this land. It has drawn people from every nation, though we have often hidden from its light.
Enlighten us.
Bless and guide the leaders of this nation, especially Barack, our president, Rick, our governor, and Alvin, our mayor.
Empower us.
We thank you for the faith we have inherited in all its rich variety. It sustains our life, but we have been faithless again and again.
Renew us.
Help us, O Lord, to finish the good work here begun. Strengthen our efforts to blot out ignorance and prejudice and to abolish poverty and crime. Hasten the day when all our people with many voices in one united chorus will glorify your holy name.
Amen.
I invite your prayers for those who are suffering or in pain. I invite your prayers of thanksgiving. Almighty and eternal God, ruler of all things in heaven and earth, mercifully accept the prayers of your people and strengthen us to do your will, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Please be seated. Welcome to St. John's Cathedral. Welcome, everyone. If you're new or visiting, we welcome you. And there is a little card in your pew that you can fill out, and we will send you our e-newsletter. We're so glad you're here today. We also have tours that lead from the entrance of the church if you'd like to learn more about this beautiful space. What we are using today is the 1662 prayer book, which would have been used by our founding fathers in 1776. And since the majority of them were Anglican, this is very much like the service that they would have had on a Sunday. So thank you very much for doing this with us. In honor of the 4th, we are going to be taking up a special collection for the Wounded Warriors. This is a wonderful ministry that ministers to all of our soldiers who come back to us with physical and spiritual ailments. So if you would write a check to the cathedral and put Wounded Warriors in the memo section, we will make sure that it gets there. And we're grateful for your generosity. We have a new properties manager after over 100 applications. Tim, where are you? There he is. Tim is here with his wife, Sue. Tim Ingeman, I hope you'll introduce yourself to him. We're so blessed that he's here. Not only has he spent his whole career in construction, but he was the head verger at St. Mark's Episcopal Church, so he knows a lot about why we do what we do. Welcome. We're so glad you're here. And remember that we'll be feeding the homeless tomorrow at Sulzbacher, so if you'd like to help, come on. And last but very much not least, we have a 90th birthday today. June, can you stand up, sweetheart? June is 90, so we're going to give her a round of applause. We will have birthday cake in celebration of her. You're a great role model for all of us here after the service. I read an article by a psychiatrist who said, when you receive a gift, you get endorphins. Did you know that? It makes you feel good. But when you give a gift, you actually get even more endorphins. So the psychiatrist was saying what Jesus said so many centuries ago, blessed are those who give, for they will receive.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto our Lord God.
It
is very meet, right, and our bounden duty that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same Lord whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, who of thy tender mercy didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there by his one oblation of himself once offered a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world, and did institute, and in his holy gospel command us to continue, a perpetual memory of that his precious death until his coming again. Hear us, O merciful Father, we most humbly beseech thee, and grant that we, receiving these thy creatures of bread and wine, according to thy Son, our Savior Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood, who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this as oft as ye shall drink it, in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Give us this day our daily bread.
And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive them that trespass against us.
And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive them that trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we most heartily thank thee for that thou dost vouchsafe to feed us, who have duly received these holy mysteries, with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of thy Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and dost assure us thereby of thy favor and goodness towards us, and that we are very members incorporate in the mystical body of thy Son, which is the blessed company of all faithful people, and are also heirs through hope of thy everlasting kingdom, by the merits of the most precious death and passion of thy dear Son. And we most humbly beseech thee, O Heavenly Father, so to assist us with thy grace, that we may continue in that holy fellowship and do all such good works as thou hast prepared for us to walk in. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Ghost be all honor and glory, world without end. Amen. God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost be amongst you and remain with you always.
Thank you. Amen.